Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here. Getaway Friday, May the 22nd, 2026. Let's see, Memorial Day weekend, Friday, blah, 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 12 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan, having a nice little passive conversation before we went to break. As somebody said out there in listener land, sounds like a fun conversation you were having. See, there you go.
I knew it.
And by the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. No, not an argument. They thought it was an argument. No, not an argument. But just to make my point again, before we move on to something a little more flowery, here is why I believe it's fatalist. I mean, you can disagree if you want.
I'm disagreeing.
Well, that's okay. But the point is that you already have a predetermined idea of what happens to you when you die. You go on the ground and you don't. Well, you believe.
No. Let me rephrase, I guess. Okay. Yes. It's not predetermined to be like, I believe there's already a day, and like, yes, there is a day in the future in which I'm going to die.
Right.
Okay.
And what happens?
But that's not fatalism.
But that is in this story.
But what happens isn't fatalism.
That is in this story.
Okay. So, fatalism would be, like, with the hat story. Fatalism would be, like, it was already written in the fabric of the universe, or, like, whatever you want to call it. It was already written that you were going to be at the grave, and you were, not you, but whoever was going to say whatever they said, and then the hat was going to blow off their head. It was already written that way. Planning on being happy.
So if I say the winner of this sporting event was already predetermined, what am I saying?
Predetermined by it's not like... It'd be like if two teams played in a sport that wasn't predetermined, like, there was an actual competition there. Predetermined to be like, there's no point to watch the game, not necessarily, but like, the winner of the game is already predetermined. Like, predetermined being like, no matter how hard the other team tries, they're going to lose because the universe, the fabric of the universe said otherwise, basically.
No, yeah, that's your words, that everything's fabric of the universe. That's not the same thing. Look, predetermined as a word does not mean fabric of the universe.
No, duh. But, like, I mean, it's like a script. Like, that's a better way to put it then. Then the universe is like a script. Fatalism believes that the universe is like a script. Everything's just going to happen.
I'm talking about predetermined. What I'm saying is you have already predetermined an opinion what happens.
Predetermined is to decide, establish, or arrange something in advance so that it does not happen by chance.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that a lot of things do happen by chance.
No, but on this particular subject that we're having, you have already decided.
No.
Okay,
well, yes.
You haven't.
Yes.
Well, you let me get through.
I haven't.
Can I get through the whole thing here?
Sure.
Okay, here's the point. You have already decided that when you die, that's what happens. You go in the ground and nothing more happens. That is predetermined in your mind, even though that's not fact, but you have decided that. And even though a lot of other people believe differently, probably the majority of people believe differently, you have already...
People do believe differently.
Okay, but you have already decided in your mind, predetermined, that that's what happens. So when I tell a story...
Predetermined, I decided.
No, you believe that's predetermined, that no matter what happens, that can't change. So, here's the point. The other people believe that it's not predetermined. They believe...
It depends.
No, you can make it depend.
No,
if it's not predetermined.
You ever heard of Calvinism. You ever heard of Calvinism?
Let's move on to the finish
Calvinism's,
of the story.
Calvinism, like, they...
Can we pull through this story here for a second?
I guess.
Okay. So, you have predetermined that that's what happens when you die. Boom. There is no other option. Other people believe differently. The majority of people believe differently. They believe if you do good deeds and good things in life, that you will go to a good place. They believe that if you do bad things, you might end up in a bad place. Some people believe whether you do good or bad, you're going to end up in a good place. Some people believe it's not heaven, it's not hell, it's just a different place. there are different beliefs. Your belief, predetermined in your mind, is that nothing happens. Nothing happens. So because nothing happens, being in the cemetery and a hat blowing off means nothing, has nothing to do with the dead person, because you have already made up in your mind that nothing happens when you die. If you have not predetermined that, if you are open to other options, then the story in the cemetery can say, well, like I did, well, do I know for sure that was the dead person? No. Can I say that that is what exactly happened? No. But I also can't totally deny it out. So I don't have the fatalistic view of life that has predetermined what is already going to happen in the future. So everything now is also not predetermined. There you go.
Okay, if I was a fatalist, I would believe that there was already a date written somewhere in the future that date is going to be my death date. For sure, like I could just somehow in some way be like, that's, like if I could look into the future, I'd be like, that's the day I die. 100%, nothing I could do about it, that's the day I die. I don't think that's the case. If anything, at best, the closest thing I could describe, I wouldn't even, I was going to
so
say.
So why are you uncertain on everything else but that?
What do you...
Well, you're saying you're not that. You're saying you are somebody who doesn't see things as being certain. That things can be uncertain. Then why can't the hat be somebody, some dead person?
It's just not...
Because you predetermined something
no!
in your mind. What's it based on, then? What fact do you got?
There's no, like... What do you mean?
I'm asking... I'm with you. I'll go with it. If you believe that everything is chance and you believe that everything is, you know, happenstance, okay. Me too. That's what I'm saying in the hat story.
You can mix in some determinism, maybe.
No, fatalism.
No, you can, but determinism.
No.
I wouldn't even.
See, now you're just playing with words.
No!
Because we have already been.
Determinism and fatalism are kind of, like I said, it's kind of like.
You know,
but fatalism determined, like, is like everything is already predetermined, okay?
That's what you believe.
No!
You don't... So, okay, so then you believe that could have been the dead person blowing
out
of the head. No!
Because look, I just think... Okay, better way to put it. I think death is like what... What was it like before you were born?
I don't know.
I think that's what it was like... I think that's what it's going to be like when I die. I think it's going to be just like it was before I was born.
Okay.
And it was nothing. Literally, like for the purest definition of the word nothing, that's what it was like.
Do you know it?
Yes! Because I...
You know what's interesting? What is your earliest childhood memory?
I don't know.
Is it coming out of the womb?
No.
Why? You're alive. You're here.
Brain's not formed yet.
Oh. Is that right? So why do people's brain form at different ages? Why is some people's first memory at 5, some people at 3, some people at 2?
Well, it would... Now I'm no biologist, but it would... Probably something to do with biology, but also...
It
could have something to do with, like, you know... people do tend to have an easier time remembering traumatic things.
Okay.
So if it's traumatic, I mean, yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, my earliest memory is pretty young, but it's not a traumatic memory. It's a nothing memory, but it's not traumatic.
Okay.
Okay. But could I guarantee that that was a true memory? Probably not.
Well, but I couldn't guarantee that my memories from yesterday were true memories.
Well, yes, you can.
How?
Because you were there and there were people around who saw that.
I was there in my childhood.
Yeah, but...
I remember things from my childhood.
Okay, what's your earliest childhood memory?
I don't know.
Why don't you have a... Well, you gotta... Something's gotta be early.
I have childhood memories, but I don't know what, like, the earliest one would be.
Well, I do. Now, why do I remember it and you don't? And mine's certainly been longer ago than yours.
Well, I'm just bad at, like, timelines. I can remember a whole bunch of memories from when I was younger, but I don't know, like, the years of them. I mean, I could go back, like, in the houses that we lived.
But the point of this is, I don't care what word you want to use, if you don't want to use fatalism, because you don't like the word.
It doesn't describe what I believe.
Well, how does this hurt you either way? Why do you want to have a 45-minute conversation about a word when I'm talking about the issue? That's something you do a lot. It's very interesting.
Because you can't...
What do you think? Somebody's recording this show and say, oh my God.
Because you can't... I don't think you can have...
I think it's because you're trying to avoid the issue. You have some avoidance in there.
You didn't even let me answer the question.
Well, we've been down that road before. Trust me, I've been on the end of that.
I don't think you can have... Like, I don't think we can come to an agreement on anything if we don't agree on the definitions of the words that we are using. It's a pretty simple concept. If you were using fatalism...
But we're not going to agree on
this. If you were using fatalism in a different way than I am using fatalism...
Right, but we're not going to agree on this.
Or, like, if you... Like, predetermined. I think that your definition of predetermined is not the definition of predetermined.
Already made up.
And vice versa. Okay, so if we can't agree on the definition of the words that are being used in the conversation, then how are we going to come to an agreement on the conversation?
Because you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, but it's not.
That's all it is understanding.
It's not what I believe, and you're saying that's what I believe. It's not. I don't think I'm not a fatalist. I don't think things are predetermined.
So you don't believe that we die, and that's it, and you have no memory.
That's not fatalism.
I'm not predetermined. Let's agree on that word.
Predetermined.
Yep. Already made up. That's the way it's going to be.
Specifically on death.
Yes.
What are you talking about? You broadly, I'm not a fatalist. I don't think there's like a date.
But what are we talking about?
I don't think that there's a date already set in the future in which I'm going to die. I think there's going to be a day in the future in which I'm going to die.
I don't think there's a date in the future you said to die.
But fatalism, that's what fatalism is.
That's what your version is when you twist it to what you want it
to
mean.
No, people who are fatalists genuinely believe that everything's already, predetermined. Everything.
No, I don't believe that's true. Because what I said was, if you go back and listen to the tape, and I hope you do later on, I think you're, for the most part, a fatalist. I did not say you were an absolute anything.
I think for the most part.
That's my opinion. And it was coming off a conversation about death specifically.
Closest I can give is I can mix in maybe... I can understand mixing in a bit of determinism.
Again. But what were we talking about?
But determinism is the opposite to some extent of fatalism. Determinism is like a snowball effect, basically. You do something to me, it does something... And then I take that, do something to somebody else, and it keeps going. It's just like everything that has happened to you is led up to my entire life has led up to this conversation we are having right now, and it's all been determined by the previous events.
But you are taking a definition and how you interpret that definition.
No, that is what do you mean?
Okay, there you go.
Determinism is a school of philosophy. Fatalism is a school of philosophy.
Right.
I
agree.
No. Well, yes. Yeah, it's the school of philosophy.
Uh-huh. And I think your philosophy
is...
And I think your philosophy is, on this particular subject, that you have already made up your mind on a certain issue, big issue in a lot of people's life, that drives a part of their life and how they act throughout their life. So when I take a specific event that happened to me that I witnessed, and you say, cannot be what you... I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm not saying what happened that day. I'm saying I don't know. I'm saying it's not predetermined. I am in no way in that conversation a fatalist, because I'm saying I have no idea what happened. I have nothing. I have nothing to add to that. I can't say for sure it was this. I can't say for sure it was that. But you're saying can't be that because of how you believe about something else. And that to me is fatalistic. You're saying, absolutely not, wasn't that dead person, was the weather, guaranteed, can't be your philosophy on this, can't be that it could have been anything, because I believe when you die, this happens. That's it. You've determined that. It's predetermined to you that when you take your last breath on whatever day...
See, that's the difference. I determined it. It's not predetermined.
But you believe
predetermined
that...
Predetermined to be like, I was already set up to believe... I was already set up to determine.
You're thinking different points.
It's predetermination.
Now, calm down. What I'm saying is that you believe that death is predetermined to end a certain way. Nothing I can do is going to change that in my lifetime. Predetermined. It's going the way you think. Nothing I can do, even if I believe differently than you, I'm going the same place you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. You predetermined that.
No, I have determined that.
No, you haven't. You're factual now, huh? Well, you got the facts.
No, like, not like, I haven't proved it. I, myself, have...
For you. You've determined it for you. So it's also predetermined in your mind for everybody else that that's what's going to happen to them no matter what they're doing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And because you predetermined that, I can't believe that that hat blowing off in the cemetery meant anything
well,
but the weather.
Well, you can believe whatever
that's
you want.
That's not what you said.
I'm just going to disagree with
right.
you.
Right. Because you have predetermined that that's what's going to happen
not
to me.
Not predetermined.
Okay. So you absolutely know for you what's going on. But
don't
you don't. Because you don't. You can say you've determined it. You've just made a
the
choice.
The only difference between predetermined and determined is that one happens in the future.
Right.
Like...
Well, you did?
No, but I have determined that when I die... When I die, I can't determine anything. Predetermined...
So it is predetermined.
No!
That's what you just
I
said.
Have, I have just...
Oh, God almighty.
It's more like I have come to a conclusion that when I die, there's going to be nothing else.
This is a horrible conversation.
I love this conversation.
No, this is terrible.
Oh, I enjoy it.
Okay. If you light a candle and blow out the flame... Okay, let's go here. If you light a candle and blow out the flame and then reignite the candle, you wouldn't say it was the same flame. Concepts of rebirth are similar. You'll be a new flame, essentially not the same original flame. Also, there's a difference with natural laws in theology and fatalism. Theology fatalism is this is predestined by God. There you go. I agree with all that. That's from a listener. But you can't believe that because you believe how you believe. You even believe how you believe about the whole fatalism thing. I can't even have an opinion that you are a fatalist because you've decided what predetermined means. You've decided what you believe.
Look
you've
at the definitions.
I'm not. Listen, you may, maybe you aren't a fatalist. I'm just saying that's my opinion.
Like,
I'm allowed to have it.
Like, look at the definitions. Predetermined.
Yes.
Not changing. I mean, sure. Yes.
Okay, so what can I do to change it?
As far as death, I mean, like, I could change my death date by quitting doing a lot. Like, if I went to, like, I don't know.
I'm not talking about your date.
You can change things. I'm not saying you can't change things.
Think you can't change that.
I just think I can change the day I die, I guess.
I'm not talking about the day you die. It means nothing to me.
Okay. As far as death goes, yes. Once you die, I think that it's just kind of
so
like...
So that is predetermined.
And also,
you haven't died.
As far as the whole candle, blowing on a candle...
Oh, right? God, here comes a call. Thank God. All right, go ahead, caller.
Scott, what does God have to do with it?
I don't necessarily know it means anything.
Well, you said just a few minutes ago that things was predetermined by the way God wanted it to be. Or
that's why I was reading what a listener said.
But, you was reading what a listener said.
Yeah.
But here's another way to think, if you're religious and you think God actually is, God created everything. What does everything do to each other? Everybody tries to eat everybody, don't they? All animals, almost. Very few animals just eat plants. You know, but we are civilized anymore, and we don't actually do that. If we do that, we don't ever kill and eat our prey right then and there. We have farmers do it. But isn't that... If God was such a good person, why in the hell did you make everything eat each other in an uncivilized world?
But I think the answer would be, I don't know, just like I don't know why somebody would walk in front of a bus. I don't
well,
know
I don't
why
know
somebody...
Why God did that, but I do definitely
well, but I don't know that...
That's a screwed up way.
Yeah, but to be fair to religious people...
some people, and I was God, I damn certainly wouldn't, create them so they ate each other.
Right, but I guess the point is that I don't think religious people are saying that either. I think that's a twisting of what religious people are saying. Religious.
I don't know what God has to do with it. I don't believe in God.
And that's fine.
But if you do, that's fine. I'm not trying trying to tell you to not
No, but that's what happened here this morning.
And you can't understand science and come to a conclusion that that's a very mystical thing that's been around since...
Well, if you read the Old Testament, God was kind of a jerk, one of our listeners is saying.
Yes, he was. He was definitely, yes.
Yeah, vengeful God.
Yes,
well,
he was.
If there is a God, he was a jerk.
Well, okay.
But I don't agree with God. I don't want to try to... I don't go out and try to talk to people and change them if I know they're religious. I just leave them alone. But
when you make fun of them, that's not necessarily the optimal thing to do.
I went into the clinic one time for a doctor's appointment, and you know, my leg, left leg, used to be so huge at one time. I mean, I couldn't even put pants on. I don't even know if I can put them on now, but there's this lady in the waiting room, and she had her Bible and stuff.
Do you have a Bible? Out of curiosity?
Which I don't know. I just know it's a Bible, and she was reading it there.
No. Do you have a Bible?
Thought I had a Bible?
No, do you have a Bible? I was just curious.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law years ago got me a Bible, but if I still have it, I don't know where in the heck it's at. But she was sitting there reading her Bible, and she started talking religion to me. And I told her, I said, I just don't believe in religion. I said, that's just me. And she kind of let it go, and then she come up there and right beside me and looked at my leg, and she said, yeah, God could heal that.
Oh, boy.
You know, like, she's the one that tells God what he's going to heal.
Well, I think she said could, not will.
Oh, if I would... get down and kiss her.
No, nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that.
God, I love you.
No, nobody's saying that. No.
I would have been healed.
No. But again, back to the conversation, because this is not a... Is atheism a religion? Right. That's a much bigger conversation. The conversation we're having here this morning is, when I told my little simple cemetery story, I said, I don't know what caused the hat to blow off. I know what the person whose hat blew off thought, and I know what they chalked it up to. Now, can I say definitively what happened? No. And I'm not going to try to say definitively, but I do think it's an awful weird coincidence. So, based
how
on
many
that...
How times has a hat ever blew off a person?
When they've said something bad about a dead...
Huh? Has somebody had a... Hat was
I asked that person. This person wears a cap all the time. I said, how many times has your hat blown off like that? And they said, never.
It's never ever blown off.
What they said.
In all his years, he's never had the wind blow it off.
That's what he said.
Now, that's what he says.
Now, see, now we're doubting whether his cap can blow off or not.
I have no reason to doubt the man. I mean, I mean, hats blowing off doesn't happen all the time. It's just common.
He's the golden rule exception. You know, they can have a hat fall off. You know, does that mean that if it happened at a certain time that you was thinking something or something, does that mean it came from God?
Well, let me make you an easier situation here. Okay, years ago, and this is on tape here somewhere. I wish I knew the date. I'd pull it up. I was interviewing Dick Cavett years ago, and Bob Hope, the famous comedian, was very famous for not liking to talk about how much money he had. He felt that if people knew how much money he had, that they wouldn't come see him, because they related to him as an every person, and if they knew...
That can be true, though.
Yes, okay.
If you got a lot of money, people can...
Right. So that's what Bob Hope believed. So I'm interviewing Dick Cavett, and now I don't know it at the time, but Dick Cavett apparently is doing this interview. He's sitting in a chair, and the chair is leaned up against the wall while he's doing this entire interview. And we get on the subject, because I say, hey, Dick, I just saw a recent interview you did with Bob Hope, in which, you know, you got him to talk about a lot of things he didn't want to talk about, and one of those things was money. And he got very defensive when you started to talk about his money. And Dick started to talk about that interview. interview with Bob Hope and how Bob got defensive about talking about his money. Then all of a sudden you heard like the phone rattle and hit the floor and Dick stopped talking. And I said, are you okay, Dick? Are you there, Dick? Or hello? And he goes, well, I'm sorry. I had this chair leaned up against the wall the entire interview and I was talking to you and the chair gave way and I fell and I hit the floor. And I said, you know, that was Bob Hope. He didn't like you talking about his money. And Dick said, you know, I bet that's right. He said, you know, what was Bob Hope's famous line? You know, I think he said, you know. Well, it was something like that. You know, Dick, I didn't want you talking about my money. And he did a good Bob Hope impersonation. Now, was that Bob Hope knocking him off the chair? Who knows? I don't know. But it's
well,
weird coincidence.
Lean back, I have, with the chair up against the wall, or lean back without a chair up against the wall, and you lose your balance or whatever.
Right, but here's the point. You're missing is this. The point you're missing, yes, if you were just sitting...
It happened at that exact same time.
Right, but here, that's
which means it's set in stone.
No, the point is this.
It's written in stone when Moses got the commandments.
No, the point is this. The point is, there were many things we were talking about in that interview that didn't have to do with anger, that didn't have to do with somebody being angry, that didn't have to do with anything. But the one thing we were talking about somebody getting angry about, and that you don't talk about this, and here we are talking about it after that person's dead, that's the moment the chair gives away. That's why it's an oddity. That's why being in the cemetery, I preface that story with, the person was saying things that person would not have been happy with. And just as they were saying that stuff, the hat blows off the head. Now, if they were out there going, oh, you know, you're wonderful, I'm sad, and they dropped down in tears and were crying over the grave, the hat blowing off probably would not have been a thing. But if you are saying negative things, and you know that person would see them as negative, and they can't respond because they are dead, and that's the moment your hat blows off, that becomes less of a coincidence.
Well, it's just a coincidence. It don't mean nothing. The way I'm phrasing it, that it can just happen.
Right, but that's because you have a predetermined idea.
You know, background argument that you're saying.
Right. But I'm saying I don't have a predetermined view of what happens when I die. I don't know is what I'm saying. You do. You're saying you know what happens, and this is what's going to happen.
I don't know what happens. When you die, you die.
Right, but
my soul ain't going to go up there to heaven.
Right, you know.
Mr., you know.
You know. So that's why that event...
Well,
with
I
Dick,
don't know for sure, but that's yeah. what I think.
I don't know, yeah.
But then why can't
so
my hat thing be...
any evidence that
well, if you
it does,
but if you,
the
okay,
says.
But if you don't know, then why can't my story be a possibility?
Okay. Now, it could be a possibility.
There we go.
Changing your tune.
And that's not fatalist.
Going around teaching, you know, little kids that, you know...
Well, I don't think I'm going to any schools to tell them that story. I'm just saying in this, when you tell me it can't be anything else, that's a fatalistic attitude to me because you have already predetermined what's going to happen and that's why that can't happen. Now, if you're willing to say, could have been, because I don't know, then you're in the same boat I'm in.
But if you want your kids to believe in fantasy... the land theories, send them to Catholic school, send them to parochial school or whatever, but
you do not
have the right to teach public school kids your crap.
Okay, there we go.
They can make up their own mind.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Stay out there. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. See a lot there.
Oh, so, yes. I do not know what happens when I die. I'm not dead. Never died.
There we go.
You know? But it would seem most likely to me that nothing happens. You just kind of die. And back to what I was saying. As far as the whole, you know, like, blow out a candle and relight it, it's not the same flame. I'd agree. But, like... It's okay. I'm concerned about the meanness of it, if that makes sense. The self, okay. When I die, yes, the atoms that make up my body are going to be put to work elsewhere. Every atom, every proton, neutron, and electron looks just like every other proton, neutron, and electron. They're all the same exact thing, okay? So, like, my proton, neutrons, and electrons are going to be put to work elsewhere. So I will become something else, or at least my atoms will. But it's not me. I'm not the thing becoming something else. Those are my atoms, the things that make me up. So, I guess in theory, I believe in reincarnation, but it's not even reincarnation, because it's a whole different thing. Like, I'm going to be put to work elsewhere. Yeah.
So we're back to the original point now. You don't know.
Well, no, you can't know.
But that's not where this started.
I think it is far more likely than not.
Now, saying that would have been different. Because that's what I said.
That's not what you said.
I said, I don't know.
You said you don't know.
I don't know.
If I had to put money on it, I'd put money on it. It was a coincidence. It was just a wind.
But that's not what you said. You said nothing happened. It was just the wind. It was the weather.
Yeah.
Okay, but now you're saying, I don't know for sure. More likely than not, it was this, but I can't say.
When I say more likely than not, I'm not even talking about, like...
So you are back to predetermined.
Like,
you know what?
Like, I'm talking like, I mean, could it have been a spirit thing? Sure, I guess. But, like, the odds of that are, like, little in my mind, like a fraction of a thousand. Like...
Because of your predetermined opinion on something.
Because there has been plenty of experiments. Have been plenty of experiments to test the veracity of spirits.
Uh-huh.
And none of them are conclusive. Not a single one.
This is the fatalistic attitude that I'm talking about. That if you've already made up your mind because of a predetermined thing, then everything else
and
follows
also,
suit.
I haven't made up my mind.
Sounds like it.
Look, I just... Like, I have done my due diligence. I mean, I've read, like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Genesis, Exodus, Psalms. Like, I even read some of the Catholic Bible. I read the Book of Judith, the Book of Tobit. I've read Job. Like, I've listened to Christian apologetics. I watched, like, hundreds of hours of religious debates on YouTube. I've watched, like biblical scholars talk about it. I watched a dude named William Lane Craig. He's a doctor in theology and a doctor in philosophy. I've done my due diligence, and I just don't think I don't think it's likely.
For you.
If it's not likely for me, it's not likely for anybody.
No.
You could believe it, but that doesn't mean it's likely.
Right, and because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's unlikely. So who cares? That's what I'm talking about. I am not going to... matter of fact, I don't predetermine anything at all. Because I believe that is all very obnoxious
in
a way.
Plenty of things that are predetermined.
Okay. Such as?
Well, like math is very, like 2 plus 2 always equals 4. There's no way that 2 plus 2 is going to equal 5.
No, I'm talking about
4 times.
We talked about fatalism.
4 times 3 is going to equal 12 every time. Promise.
Fatalism, we're talking about philosophy. That's not philosophy. We're talking about philosophical subjects. What philosophical subject is definitive?
It's philosophy.
Exactly.
But, by virtue, none of it's definitive.
Exactly. Which is why fatalism is a philosophical stance. Which is exactly what I'm saying. So
it's just not the philosophical stance I take.
Because you have predetermined something, which makes you more of a fatalist. Anyway,
no!
I got a letter in the mail yesterday. Here's what it said. It said, Scott, it was great speaking with you after Election Day. I enjoyed catching up and appreciate your interest in the work I'm doing. A thriving democracy relies on informed voters, which is why the work you and your colleagues do is imperative and why your profession is protected by the very First Amendment. I look forward to speaking with you soon again. Please stay in touch. Yours in service, Frank LaRose, Secretary of State. I thought that was very nice. Again, another real letter that came in the real mail with real post. When I got this from Frank LaRose yesterday, because it's Secretary of State, I thought, well, I wonder if this has something to do with voting. I wonder if, voting rights are going away. I got to bring a driver's license or something. But no, it's a thank you note. Now, the part is typed out, but that's a very, he did sign it, but that's a very, to the point, it's not a, it wasn't a stamp, let's put it that way. So, that's very nice of him. Frank LaRose.
I'd agree, yeah. It's good.
See, some people know how to handle the media, and some people don't. Frank LaRose does. Amy Acton does not.
Okay.
That's all I got.
When you just talk to people, I mean, that's pretty good.
No, you send thank you notes like this. People will talk about this on the air. People will remember that. He didn't have to do it. See, it's the time you spend, even if it's minor.
I'd rather just talk to people.
Again, your opinion.
Yeah, that's why I said I'd rather.
Right, but I'm talking about what happened.
All right, yes. Good for him.
Oh, Lord.
It was nice of him to do so. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I think this will help him along the way. You make good relationships with the media.
Well, I don't think... relationships with the media shouldn't matter, because if the media outlet is non-biased, they could absolutely hate you, but if you're doing good things, then what are they going to do? Bash you for it? That'd be
no. It's if you do bad things, a lot of media outlets, unfortunately, will not treat you fairly, and you don't know how somebody's going to treat you. So that's that.
Chumming it up with the media is shouldn't matter.
I don't think that's chumming it up. I think that's saying thank you. I think thank you notes are one of the most effective things in the world, and I don't think they show any bias at all. I think they show that I'm thank you for coming on.
Well, I don't. The note itself doesn't have anything to. The note isn't biased.
No, that's all I'm saying. That you took the time to say thank you. A lot of people don't.
But if I didn't like you, I'd.
I don't know if he liked me. I'm just saying it's nice to send a note.
No, not you. If I didn't like a politician, like, if they did something good, I can't go out of my way and, like, beat them over the head.
Oh, you could. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you're a teacher. I got a question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm seeing a bunch of kids walk by with backpacks and stuff.
Right.
And the books in their hands and stuff. Is school letting out early today?
It's the last day of school. It's probably they're done with exams.
Oh. Well, okay.
Because you live in the city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry Street.
Yeah.
So it's the ones that are done with exams walking home. It's
most
not everybody.
Yeah, I don't know what schools in your area, but most schools today are just in exams the last 2 days.
Yeah, after I seen, I don't know, about the third or fourth, fifth kids walk by, I said, huh. You know, yeah. They should be in school right now.
Last day of school. For most people, it was just a half day today.
Okay, I'll let you and Matt get back to arguing, but Matt.
No,
a lot the way you do.
Yeah, but I got the letter from Frank LaRose. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard you just say that.
Isn't that nice?
That was nice.
The little show that I'm doing here, Frank LaRose and Sherrod Brown have both sent me notes in the last month.
Yeah.
Yep, this is the center of the universe.
To get, rewards for what you do. Or
this is how you get elected.
Or just, I don't know how it is, pat on the back or something. You know, that was good.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, and something else I wanted to talk about, you know, because I've talked for the last few weeks now. This is another ongoing conversation that we might as well continue to have here. You know, I had an acquaintance. You know what I'm talking about here. Yeah. And it hit the skids a few months ago because of a silly comment. Tell the comment, because I've told the story many times.
I don't remember exactly what the comment was. It was something you had said something, and they didn't give a response. And then you had said, something like it's okay, you don't have to respond to this, but you know, I just wanted you to know that every time I saw a mediocre person, I think of you.
Right, and anger, immediate anger. So the other day, again, Mr. Nice, always trying to be, you know, thoughtful. I reached out and I said, "How you doing?" You know. Everything okay? And they responded. And now this time I made sure to say, I'm happy that you're good. I feel it's wonderful. Now I'm being sarcastic in my response.
You might just want to stop talking to him.
Well, I mean, we're getting to the point where there's nothing I can do right here. If I'm nice, I'm wrong and I'm sarcastic. If I'm... truly being sarcastic, like with the mediocre thing, then I'm mean. So, where can you go? This person has just lost their mind, is what I've realized. And I've known this person for a long time. But they truly don't see anything wrong with themselves. They see it the way they see it, And I don't know what's happened to him. They went through some kind of lobotomy in the last couple year, or months or something. I really don't know.
I'm sure they recognize what's wrong with him.
You think?
I think they just don't, I don't know, don't fix it, or maybe think it's not fixable.
There's something that happened there, because they've never acted like this before. Now, they'll deny that anything ever happened, but something bizarre is going on there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would seem they're upset by something.
Yes, and but they will never admit it.
Well,
so you never know.
Maybe you just bother them.
Maybe
if you just bother them, maybe they just don't want to tell them that.
But
you
I mean,
them.
All of a sudden, after all these years,
I don't know. I mean, this person likes to poke fun at people. But
no, they don't.
I don't know.
They don't have a sense of humor at all.
they just like send in shots.
Yeah.
And then
they're serious when they send in their stuff.
And then when you poke fun at them, they get butthurt about it.
Yes, but again, it's always been fine, but now it's not. So that it has to indicate some kind of change, because we're talking years of that, and then all of a sudden earlier this year it was like a light switch, something changed.
I don't know. Maybe they just decided that they were. I don't know. It's got maybe something to do with some New Year's resolution.
Could be, but I don't know. But they're nasty in their responses. Because they'll say, "Oh, I like you," and I always tell people how good a person you are, and all this sort of thing. But then they're nasty.
Are they actually being rude or like?
Yes.
Are you sure you're not just misreading messages?
Yes. Once you start throwing around the profanity and, you know, telling people how wrong they are and how screwed up the things that they're saying are, yeah, I don't think there's much of a way to misinterpret that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's just...
I have always said...
Maybe they just got a lot going on in their life right now.
I'm sure they do. Yes, but something happened. And I believe it's predetermined. Here you go.
All right.
I believe it's predetermined they're headed for misery.
Well, I think they're already miserable.
I think they are miserable. But I'm not saying they're a miserable person. I'm just saying I think they're in some kind of misery
to act
this way.
It's funny because it sounds like I'm being facetious, but I don't think they're predetermined to be miserable. I mean, they can always change it. I just don't know.
Oh, they could, but they won't.
Yeah, I don't know that they will, but they could.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel bad for him in a way.
This person likes to get upset by a lot of things that just in general aren't really upsetting.
Yeah, but why more upset now than in the past?
Why do people get upset by, like, and... No, this person, most of the thing, not most, I mean, I guess if you would insult them, I don't know that you would share that, but you poke fun at them a lot. Maybe they just see them
I've never outright insulted
them. Yeah, okay. Maybe they just see it as, like, insults. And I don't know what's up with that, but I mean, honestly, like, even if you did take them all as insults, like, you know, I mean, like... I don't know. Like, I've heard a good portion of the things you've said to them. I mean, like, well, you know, of the things that cause controversy, at least.
They're not bad.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, come on. Is that really the worst thing you've ever had said to you in your life? I mean, like, come on.
Right, and doesn't that make you wonder if somebody was really harsh to the person?
Well, I would assume somebody's been harsh with them before.
Right, but
I don't know, like...
It's unfortunate that they have some kind of psychological... conflict going on. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, next time you see her, grab a hold of her and kiss her.
Oh, Lord.
And tell her you love her and get her in bed.
Oh, Jesus.
That's my advice.
No. Here's the point. Now, listen. That's facetious, but here's the point. The point is that people have personality problems, and I think we should all be very aware of their personality problems.
I think you should point out personality problems to people.
Yeah, but her,
no, obviously they're not going to like it.
You have the problem. So...
No, I don't have the problem. I'm talking about it.
Look.
That's how love starts a lot.
There's
of
no
isn't?
Love. I'm telling you. There's never been love. There's barely like, let alone love.
Oh.
Is this how
love starts.
Is this the same person who got upset because you called him an acquaintance, not
yes,
a friend?
Yes, because I called him an acquaintance and not a friend. They got upset about that. So, listen, there is no love there. There's not even anything close
to
love.
That would hurt my feelings, too, if I was around somebody, especially if I really liked her. And
they don't
I
care. No, I called
somebody,
him an acquaintance.
This is just my acquaintance, and we see each other all the freaking time.
Oh,
and,
we
know,
don't see each other all the time.
She knows how I treat her, that I do love her, but...
Nobody loves anybody. Now, wait a second. Listen, I've never gotten a letter from her like Frank LaRose. I like Frank LaRose better than I like her.
Well... No, I don't.
Well, I just said it. You can take it to the bank. No, I'm just saying psychological defects, and it's that sounds bad, but I feel bad that they have those psychological defects. I feel bad for them now. It's not even so much.
That's the way she thinks you have psychological defects too. A lot of your listeners, I mean, maybe,
no,
think you have psychological, you know.
Oh, they certainly do not.
But
no, they do not.
You make it fun to listen to sometimes, and some of your guests, except, I don't know, the one that calls me names and don't like me, but...
Now, see, why don't you go find that person and wrap your arms around him and say I love you and just clear that sucker up?
He's not a woman. If it was a woman, I probably would, because... I'd be calling her back, telling her off, too.
No, I'm just saying. You can give a man a hug.
Well, if I ever
it's
make
like brotherly
it,
love.
Yes, brotherly love. Matt likes hugs.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a good hug.
Go around hugging people, except...
Oh, I don't know. You know, I hugged a lot of random people at Sonic Temple. That's probably how I got the cold, as a matter of fact.
I've always been affectionate with kids, and it's too bad that I never had kids, because I always loved kids. You know, I was thrilled when I got a sister. I was 16 years old when she was born. I've had a lot of nieces and nephews, and I've done for them so much more than what a typical uncle that's married and has a family would do, you know, any of my uncles with me. You know, I've taken them fishing and done things, you know.
Let me get this in here. We got a listener out there. I had an ex did some similar things, and he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. There you
that's
go.
What's up.
Now, also, here's another comment from a listener. Had a former friend that also had an abrupt change and ended our friendship. Turns out she had a psychotic break and believed that she was in a secret relationship with Chris Evans through the media.
Who is Chris Evans?
I think an actor. Actor or singer or something. Now, I believe it, and I'm serious. I believe that this person I'm talking about is bipolar or possibly has maybe having a psychotic breakdown, and I'm concerned.
Well, it wouldn't...
I might have a psychotic breakdown, too, because...
I'm going to have a psychotic breakdown if this
the
keeps...
The rest of you people in this world are screwed up. Especially half of them booting for that thing we got in the White House. But
see, no, I'm just saying I'm concerned. That's all I want to say this morning.
Screwed up.
I just wanted to say that I'm concerned this morning for that person, and I hope that they get some help, because I think they're having some kind of breakdown.
Yeah, but it don't mean... Too many people feel that, you know, you can't go to a shrink. What would people think if you went to a shrink?
I don't care if she goes to a shrink. I hope she does.
Hey, I think everybody should go to a shrink at one point.
Maybe shrink and learn something from you. Maybe you'll learn something from the shrink.
That's right. Listen, I'm going to end this hour, but I hope they get help. I hope they get help. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
The left from okay. Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges